Welcome to Sparkle Speak. This is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, which is a Christian women's ministry designed to connect women with the purpose of inspiration and encouragement. Each week, we will interview a new guest who will share her personal experience with Christianity. Whether you identify yourself as a Christian or not, this podcast is for you, and our intent is always to inspire one another through our own unique and individual stories of how God has moved and shaped us. Wherever you are listening today, we hope you enjoy this story of faith. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. And today we have our special guest, Angie Pryor, with us. Angie has connections with our founder, Betsy. And I'm just really looking forward to chatting with her today. So Angie, why don't you introduce yourself, kick us off with just kind of saying who you are, where you're from, maybe some of the things that you do in life. And yeah, take it away.
Well, first of all, thank you, Catherine, for having me on. I am completely humbled and honored that you would even ask, because I'm like, Betsy, what in the world am I going to be able to share? But I do hope that there is one, two, or several girls, women out there that maybe will be touched by something I say. I don't know. we serve a big God who can use technology in the most amazing ways to transform lives. So let's hope that that somehow in this great big universe, that is what happens. So,
yes.
So I am a mom and a wife. I've been married 25 years to my husband, Andrew, and we have two children, 16 and 18. So I'm in the throes of teenage world to two girls. So my poor husband, he's dealing with a lot of hormones in this house. We do live in horse country, which is Kentucky, and we actually do have a horse. Not in our backyard, though. We keep a little pony up the street at a farm. I know. And my oldest is just enamored with him. That's her first boyfriend. His name is Gray. And I've homeschooled part-time both of my girls since they were itty bitty. And my oldest just graduated and my youngest is entering her senior year. And so that's been an interesting journey. And I'm actually kind of sad that it's almost coming to an end. I do real estate now full time and also helped my husband launch a business about 5 years ago. So, life is full, but I'm very thankful for that. And just on the side too, I play piano. I actually majored in music in college. And so when I get time, which is rare these days, I do play piano and actually have an album out called Hearing Winter that folks can tune into on iTunes.
Yes. I'm going to check that out. That sounds awesome. Yeah, well, let's dive right in. We have a question that we ask all of our guests right away. And this one's always so exciting just to see the unique responses. So I would love to hear from you, Angie. What does Christianity mean to you?
Great question. And honestly, I don't think we can answer that question without saying, what does Jesus mean? What does Christ mean? Because he's the reason we have Christianity, and Christ is everything to me. I filter my whole life through, him and his word. And it's like, what does marriage mean to you? Well, marriage is who you're married to. So let me talk about my spouse, So I guess it's part and parcel to knowing who Jesus is. And it means everything to me, from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Isn't that one of our worship songs we sing? It really does. All my thoughts and my actions are filtered through that lens. And, I start my day, I jokingly say Java and Jesus. But it's true. I like to go to the word. I like to start my day that way as early as I can. And then throughout the day, you know, any decisions I make are filtered through just, you know, what would Jesus do? And really it's kind of cliche, but, it means the salvation of my soul. You know, I just, the older I get, the more grateful I am for what Jesus did for me, what, his life modeled, and, knowing that I have a savior that, you know, when this life is over, that I have the promise of heaven, because the older I get, I see the evils of the world and I just go, man, our pastor one time said, you know, if you know Jesus, this is as close as you'll ever get to hell. If you don't know Jesus, this is as close as you'll ever get to heaven. And I'm like, man, that's really powerful. So just Christianity to me is knowing that I have a place to go after this life, knowing that it's not I know one of your questions later is going to describe an experience. So I'll talk about that a little later, but I mean, just knowing that is the hope that is just gives me joy and peace. And so that just guides my day. And, you know, it changes your outlook. It guides my decisions, you know, short-term and long-term decisions. It guides how I relate to people, the difficult people. And let me tell you, in real estate, I see a lot of people. We have a joke around our office. I tell my dad all the time, he's our broker. And I say, Dad, I am not in real estate. I am in people estate, where I'm keeping it real.
Yep.
Because I'm dealing with people all the time. So, you know, but it does, you know, you have to, if I didn't know Jesus, I don't know if I'd have the patience to endure sometimes. So it just means everything to me. And, I come from a family of redheads. So there is a hot button that lives inside of me that if it's pressed, I could go off in an instant, and I have to keep that in check. And I think because of the gift of knowing Jesus and having his spirit inside of me, sometimes he protects that button from getting pushed.
Yeah. So. That's wise to have insight into that.
Oh, so yes, it means everything to me.
I love that answer. I think a lot of people can relate so much to that. Just how you said it's like from the morning you wake up to when you rest your head, it's constant. And, I would love to hear, like, from you just personally, like, when did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian, or how did you personally come to know the Lord and recognize him as your savior?
Yes. Well, I vividly remember as a young person of about 5 years of age, sitting in my Sunday school class, and my sweet teacher, her name was Miss Ann, and her husband, Brother Don Burris, they were my Sunday school teachers, and they had no biological children of their own. So they were teaching, you know, out of the goodness of their heart. I'm sure they have many spiritual children though.
Oh, yeah.
I remember them asking if we wanted to have Jesus, ask Jesus into our heart and ask him to be our savior. And I just remember vividly, like, I could take you back to that little chair in that little basement Sunday school class where I was sitting. And I just remember saying, yes, I want Jesus to be my savior. I want him in my heart. And I just, that's from 5 years of age. And then that was it. And I had very, very good mentors and family members that were all believers. My mom and my dad, my grandparents on my dad's side were so precious. They would sit every night before they went to bed and read a little bit of scripture and pray. And so anytime I would spend the night with them, I got to hear that. And then when I was about 14 years of age, believe it or not, I did not get baptized at that time. I was kind of scared too, because at our church where I attended, they had this baptistry that was way up in the highest part of the sanctuary. It was like kind of built up on the second floor, and they would throw open these windows, and like the pastor would make this big deal. And, And like, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I was just so scared. But when we eventually started attending a different church when I was about 14. And I remember my mom coming into my room and saying, okay, Angie, you know, we're going to join this church. And do you think you'd like to get baptized? I was like, yeah, I think I can do it, you know? And so by that time I was a little more mature. And anyway, so at 14 years of age, I was baptized, and that was at Southeast Christian Church, which is where we still attend to this day. And I won't tell you how old I am now, but anyways,
that's cool.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, I just, from a very early age, which I am so thankful, you know, I know not everybody has that, that upbringing. And I was so thankful. Even last night, my oldest daughter, we had friends over for dinner, and she actually said, you know, I take for granted that my parents have taught me about Jesus from a young age. And I take that for granted. And I'm really thankful for that. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool that my kids are starting to pick up on how like rare it is and how special it is to have, family and grow up in faith. And I know that is not the case for people. And I know if there's anyone listening that hasn't had that experience, that it's okay. I know it's rare. But if you have had that, don't forsake it, you know, don't scorn humble beginnings of faith, because there is just something really sweet and special about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I just got chills when you said that, because I have two young boys right now. Mm-hmm. They're 2 and 9 months. And so I try so hard to, you know, pray with them and tell them about Jesus. But sometimes you're like, is this doing anything? You know, you wonder. And so it's great to hear, you know, your encouragement in that too.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned this earlier, but I don't know if you want to elaborate some more, like, have there been experiences that you've had that have helped change or shape your view of God along the way?
Absolutely. You know, God is not dead. He is alive. He is living. He is working in our lives constantly. He doesn't change. He gives us experiences. And I, you know, had an experience when I was 8 years of age, and I came down with pneumonia, terrible pneumonia. And my sweet mom, she was raised in the generation that literally, unless you were dying, you didn't go see a doctor. And it just so happens that I was dying. Like, my poor body was not doing well. And I think I had laid and suffered in bed for 2 weeks. And she finally figured out that she probably should take me to the doctor. And I don't fault her for that, because honestly, this experience, I think God allowed this, and it has absolutely shaped and changed my life. And so anyways, she finally takes me to the doctor. I'm on the exam table, and my sweet doctor, his name is Dr. Nicholas Glazer, and he's in heaven now, but he looked at my mom and he said, okay, I'm going to give her a shot of penicillin. And if this doesn't work, you need to take her to the hospital tonight. She is not well. I mean, I had a fever, high fever, just very sick. So he gives me this shot, and immediately I pass out. Okay. And when I pass out, I honestly think I died. I mean, I saw the other side. Yeah. As an 8-year-old. And it was very scary. I was walking around in a graveyard, and all I heard was a very sinister voice that kept saying, I want her, I want her. And I was screaming, and as a young person, I knew exactly the voice, and I started screaming and running to wherever I could. And then out of nowhere comes a bright light and love like you could not imagine. And I knew it was Jesus. And he said, no, you can't have her. She's mine. And wow. I woke up. And when I woke up, I see my mom and Dr. Glazer staring at me with eyes wide open. And I realize I'm just sweating. And my mom, she said, Angela, are you here? And I'm like, yes. Like, so from their perspective, what happened was I was out and then I started shaking and screaming, and it lasted for, maybe 2 minutes, something like that. And my mom was like, what just happened? And Dr. Glazer was like, I don't know, but that's my experience. And, you know, I really do think that I died for a brief moment in time, or something, but
oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I know it probably freaks people out to hear that story, but it's real and it's what happened to me.
Yeah.
And one, it solidifies to me that we have a loving Savior who, when we say yes to him, we are his forever. We are his. And that Hillsong, is it Hillsong that the ocean, it's Oceans, that song that that says, I am yours and you are mine. Mm-hmm. That I guess it talks, anyways, when I sing that song, I can't even stand it, because that's what Jesus spoke to me. No, you can't have her. She's mine.
Wow.
And I know that is, you know, there are two sides to this, and that there is also an enemy, and he is out there and he wants to take us down. He hates God so much, and he hates God's children, and he is on the prowl. He wants our souls. And so that experience has forever changed me. And it's kind of weird, because for a while I put it out of my mind. I didn't think about it, but when I turned somewhere in my 20s, it came back to me and I was like, oh my gosh, I had that experience. I think I probably out of trauma put it away, mm-hmm. but now as an older person, I think of that often, especially when I see anything on the news, you know, drugs, and especially drugs and what people are dealing with, you know, the war and just anything where, you know, evil is attached to it. It's, we have an enemy. And people say, well, how could God let that happen? Well, you know what? We have an enemy, and the enemy wants to take us down, and God is there to rescue us. You know, he's there with open arms, and he says, no, I love you. You're mine. Mm-hmm. And so, when you have had the God of the universe rescue you from death, it really puts everything in perspective.
Oh yeah. Angie, that is a very powerful story. I'm so glad that you shared that, because, I mean, I had chills that whole time. I believe you. And it's, I believe
that making it up.
I know. And I believe that that's true. You know, that's what the scripture tells us, is that we have an enemy who is, you know, waging for our soul, and wants it. And he doesn't want us to be gods, but God is stronger. And I think yes. It's so, you know, it's hard to live in this world where we're just going about living our lives, and we don't even realize sometimes that there's this crazy spiritual battle going on all around us.
Well, you know, it states in scripture that when Jesus walked the earth, I mean, he could see behind the veil. He mm-hmm. could see what us got a glimpse of. Mm-hmm. And it says that he felt sorry for us because we were tormented. He can see that side. And, you know, he did, he feels sorry for us. That's why he had to come to rescue us. So, I'm so thankful that I had that experience, because it has given me a glimpse into the amazing love of what our Savior did for us. And he rescued us, and we don't have to worry. We are his when we say yes to him.
Yes. I'm sure that has definitely changed a lot of how you view things in your life. And yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I think a lot of people, you know, especially those of us who are going through a spiritual battle, I mean, we all are every single day, but sometimes there really is, a time of temptations, or a time of just the struggle's a little more intense in our lives. And so if anyone listening is going through that right now, I think even just your story and seeing that picture can really propel them forward to cling to Jesus and cling to his love and goodness over the devil and his schemes.
And he is deceitful. Mm-hmm. The devil is so deceitful. He masquerades as an angel of light. And
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much. That's awesome. And I guess just as we kind of end the episode, do you have a favorite verse or something that you've been learning lately that you would love to share with us?
Well, I have so many, the whole Bible.
Yeah.
I have so many. I think my very favorite is something that my husband and I share together, and it's from Philippians 4:5-7. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think the cares of this world can really weigh on you. And when you're married, you know, those cares can be doubled, especially if you have children. And something that my husband and I have always leaned on is this verse that, you know, with prayer and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all your understanding. So, I mean, my husband and I have been through so much, so much. I mean, that's another podcast for another day, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's like my grandparents did. You know, they spent time in prayer together, and my goodness, they were married 75 plus years, and they went to the Lord and allowed his peace to surround them. And so it was an example to me, and that verse just brings me back. And then letting your gentleness be made known to all men. It's, you know, it's so easy, especially with social media, to get on and rant and rave. And, you know, as Christians, it's that gentleness that people will see in us, that can change the world, that love, that gentleness. I mean, my goodness, we have so much to look forward to as believers in heaven. And why wouldn't we be gentle? Why wouldn't we be loving? And that verse just really is an anchor to my soul. And then something else, as we have come off this terrible season of COVID, right when that all started, the Lord pointed me to Psalm 36 and 37, just those two chapters. And there's so many promises in those two chapters that got us through that season. And the gist of it is that there are evil men doing evil things, and they lay in bed at night dreaming up evil schemes, but you are a child of God, and he's got you taken care of, and that you just need to hide under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, and that he will protect you, and that there's joy and peace in that place, and that the wisdom of God will take you through anything, and that you have nothing to worry about when you hide in that place. And it was like we all went into hiding, you know, but that there's blessing in that place. And the Lord has just blessed our family. And when you hide in God's presence, that there is blessing there, and that your children will be blessed. And I just would encourage all your listeners to read those two chapters. There's so many nuggets of wisdom and so many blessings just tucked in those two chapters that I think will give a lot of encouragement and joy to the reader. It's just, oh my gosh, I almost read it every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. I will read that. You know, I want to encourage you to just for sharing everything you did, because I am relatively newly married. I've been married for like 6 years. And like I mentioned, I have young kids. And so it's always so encouraging to hear of people who've, you know, been in it for much longer and have succeeded in it, because it is hard. And like you mentioned, you and your husband have gone through a lot, it's not easy. It's not easy being a Christian in this world. It's not easy having a loving, faithful marriage. It's not easy raising kids up to love the Lord. And it's, there's so much that comes at us. And so thank you for just encouraging me, just to keep fighting the fight, you know, and persevering through it all.
Yeah, it is a battle. And, you know, the Lord one time gave me a picture of myself looking like Wonder Woman as a, you know, like, it's like, you know, we as women, we've been equipped with everything we need. And that's scriptural too. I think it's in 2 Peter, but he's given us everything we need to fight this battle. And of course we have to dig for it and look for it. And it's in his word, you know, and he equips us every day. We get on our knees to ask him, okay, Lord, how can you help me? And what can I do to bring you glory today? And it's just one day at a time. But I try to keep that image that he gave me, like, okay, Lord, with you, I am Wonder Woman, you know, I can fight these battles. And, you know, that's a powerful image, just thinking, you know, with him, we really can do all things, not on our own strength, but with him. And really, I just love the, again, back to Psalm 36 and 37, that under the shadow of his wings, it's like we almost get more done when we just hide in him and let him do the battling for us. Mm-hmm. You know, and practically speaking, you know, the times that I've just not opened my mouth and I've sat back, I've rested in knowing that he's got this. And I guess what that looks like sometimes is just not speaking, or letting my husband speak or do for me, or, and that's not meaning that I don't have a voice, but it's just whatever the circumstance is, letting him take charge. Or, and of course there's times to speak up, but I'm saying, you know, it's so easy in our culture, I think, to feel like we need to have a voice and we must speak up and we have to do, you know, no, we don't have to. Where words are many, sin abounds. I think it's sometimes better to just not speak.
Like you said, let God fight your battles for you. Yes. 'Cause I think so often we feel like we need to protect ourselves and we need to, you know, against whatever. And we think we have to do it on our own. And it's so much better when we let him fight the battles for us.
Yes. And sometimes that looks like just praying for a certain situation for many years, long suffering, and praying over that situation, praying for a person, you know, maybe not taking action when you think you have to. You know, it's going to be different for every person in every situation. But really and truly, he knows how to fight our battles better than we do. And I think he gives us the wisdom and the words to say when we need to. But we don't know that unless we spend time with him. And that goes back to your very first question. What does Christianity mean to me? And it's, okay, having that relationship with Jesus Christ, who made Christianity, you know, he's the reason we have it. And he really is. Truly, you think about every religion in the whole world, who can say they have a personal relationship with the one who started their faith? You know, Jesus tells us, come to me, spend time with me. My burden is light. My yoke is light. I'll give you rest. I mean, all these wonderful promises, no other faith can claim that. And, that is a gift. That is something that changes you from the inside out. Having a personal relationship with the creator of the whole world, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Pretty amen amazing. To that. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing everything. This was incredible. I can't wait to listen back and just soak in all the nuggets of truth and wisdom. And yeah, we just really appreciate you coming on and sharing everything. So thanks again.
I'm thankful that you even asked. I don't know if there's anything that I said that might help somebody, but I I sure hope and pray that maybe one listener was touched and changed by my experiences.
Oh, I have no doubt. So yeah, well, it was great, you know, meeting you in quotations through the Zoom call.
Right.
And, yeah. I don't know if you have plans to be involved in the Sparkle stuff at all, but I mean, if you're around maybe one day, who knows?
Yep. Well, just reach out. Yep. You know how to tag me.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much, Angie. Have a great rest of your day.
Catherine, thank you for having me.
Yep. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. If you are interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at @sparklefaith_ or at sparklefaith.com. There you can find information on upcoming events and speakers, and please feel free to reach out to us if you have a personal story of faith that you would be willing to share with us. We hope you tune in again next week, and we hope your week is full of the sparkle we all need.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.